The crux of the book is looking at the relationship between cultural extinction of ethnic minorities and ecological extinction, and looking at the relationship between how we address humanitarian concerns in the context of environmental crises. I'm focusing on the main character, who's Arab Jewish, and using his identity that is cross-cultural and polyvocal, as a way to enter into the dialogue around vulnerability, around being different, and what that means, how that connects with environmental issues. How do we bring environmental issues home into our personal lives in terms of our historical relationships with our ethnic backgrounds?
Well, what is the intersection between the environmental degradation and the cultural extinction of ethnic minorities, as you said? What is the connection and the intersection of the two?
One of the main issues that we look at are people who are more vulnerable because of where they live. And certainly in the Global South, for example, one of the issues among many others that the character encounters is environmental waste, looking at the sacrifice zones, people who are seen as disposable, for example, and what does disposability mean? So issues of waste come up again in terms of both the human context and then the natural context, and how do we re-examine our relationship to waste, whether it's in a human context and seeing people as superfluous, which obviously in our extraordinary racist democracy. Obviously, many people are seen as disposable, and then and our relationship to objects as something that we can just supposedly throw away, and that there aren't implications when we throw them away. And the characters begin to understand that there really is no way that both people and objects have all kinds of histories that affect one another directly. And this is all about relationships.
I suppose in the broader context, if you look at climate change, there has been so much discussion about those vulnerable populations that could be entirely eliminated. I mean, entire countries could be wiped out due to rising ocean levels and the impact of climate change. I mean, that sounds very much connected to what you're addressing in the book.
Yeah. And then how do we make that personal? How do we see our actions as consumers in the U.S., as both as individual, in our individual bodies, in our individual lives, and then looking out in terms of community, nation, of course, but on a much smaller scale, more reduced scale, how do our individual choices actually impact these broader issues of climate change? And this isn't about blaming the individual or putting on guilt or sacrifice, but really looking at how we are interconnected and seeing that as a path for responsibility in a collective sense. So how can we actually jump into the possibility of a cultural paradigm shift collectively through examining consumerism and what we take for granted?
And I suppose our connection to these broader issues like climate change, like environmental degradation, because of our own personal choices, particularly as consumers.
Yeah, and looking at how can we hold corporations, of course, accountable. The villain, or one of the main villains in the story, quote unquote villain, is Nestle. Looking at how water politics in Flint, Michigan, 2015, connect to water politics in Boulder and the environmental racism going on right here in Boulder in 2018. Looking at how that then connects to water politics in Turkey. Or in Iran, for example, in 9th century, transboundary water politics. So there's a folding of time. Time and space are collapsed very much. Quantum physics is integrated into the storyline. This is a nonfiction work with magical realism in the narrative. So the first section is image and narrative, and the second section is about 400 endnotes of historical, economic, literary references to really begin to understand how to examine history within contemporary context to see the relevancy of these multiple cultural, specifically around the Middle East. But the character also goes to places where Jews come from and Arab Jews lived in the Caribbean and in southern India. So looking at those cultural contexts in relation to contemporary, extraordinarily contemporary politics and daily choices.
Well, there is going to be a big event happening at the Fisk Planetarium. It's two nights, actually, April 28th and 29th. Now, that setting lends itself to all kinds of potential. What exactly is going to be happening?
So the main part of the event on both the 28th and 29th of April at 7 p.m. will be a full dome exploration of what happens in the book. The book has about 90 drawings by my mother, Michaela Amato Amato, who's a visual artist. And so the full dome images in relation to myself as the primary reader and Rob Myers, who's my the love of my life. And it's about love and interdependency. And in conjunction with the two of us reading, there will be eight other readers, and then classic Persian dance, and an Israeli-Palestinian woman singing, and then a young woman singing in Ladino, which is the language of Sephardim, of Spanish Jews, and an oud performer. And then on the 29th, April 29th, we will also have a classic Persian dinner, and that comes out of, the recipe comes out of one of the chapters in the book.
You've had lots of people weigh in on the book, folks like Noam Chomsky, Bill McKibben, and others.
Yes, yes, Tom Hartman, James Hansen. It's been exciting to see scholars, activists, and artists share their sense of playfulness, because the book is very playful, even though it's dealing with extraordinarily challenging but also contradictory issues in many ways, and to see how they responded to those complexities and contradictions in a very positive way.